Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, we bring what's in the background into the foreground. Hi, this is Mike Wagner, and I'm your guest host today, sitting in for Jim and Patrick. And you may remember me. I feel like doing Troy McClure there. Hi, I'm Troy McClure. No, I won't. You may remember me. I've done a couple of past episodes, guest episodes. One was on middle eights. One was on short guitar leads. I did one on the Black Crowes and Nile Rodgers. And today we're going to do an episode on backing vocals. And I'm going to pick some of my favorite backing vocals. And I think the reason I like to do episodes where you focus on little things in songs that make it great is because that's kind of what I love to do is to, when I'm recording, is find things that make a song sparkle. And backing vocals are one of those things that a lot of people do, and a lot of people do great. I mean, there's tons and tons of examples, and I'm going to pick my personal favorites, and I'm sure everybody has their own. But I think backing vocals are one of the things that just really can make a song stand out and take it from a great song to the stratosphere in some cases. And in some cases, you know, an average song into a really great song. So, as always, since I'm probably one of the biggest Beatles fans who listens to the show, I'm going to start with the Beatles. And in particular, I wanted to talk about Paul McCartney's role in doing backing vocals in the Beatles songs. And they are just all over Beatles records. I don't even know if people notice them. Like in Something, just there's great backing vocals. And While My Guitar Gently Weeps and Nowhere Man, and the list goes on and on and on. I'm going to pick a song from sort of the early days. It's on Beatles for Sale, and it's called No Reply. And it wasn't a big hit or anything like that, but it was the lead track. And on the anthology, they included a demo version of No Reply. And I want to play, so there's an early version. You can hear, it's much looser, but you can hear Paul sort of working out what he's going to do. And it's just amazing, especially this one part where he just lets it rip. So let's have a listen to that and real quick, and then we'll play the demo version, and then we'll hear what they ended up really doing. Okay. You can hear it's a loose version, but that section where Paul does they said it wasn't you, and he hits that really high note. That's just amazing. So, but let's now listen to the final version. Going to take roughly the same section that it, of the song, and sort of listen to how Paul's voice is behind John's, but just really just takes the whole thing and just makes it go to another level. I just love this bit. Man. In my place, if I were you, I'd realize that I love you more than any other guy, and I'll forgive the lies that I heard before. Fantastic stuff. I just love it. The next group we're going to do is the Beach Boys. Obviously a fantastic harmony band. And not just doing harmonies, but having the harmonies really add to the song. There's lots of groups who do harmonies, and there's lots of layered vocals and stuff. But the real trick is having it build up in a song. And Brian Wilson was tops when he was at the top of his game. He probably, you know, he was one of the greatest of all time. And the one I want to do for them is "Wouldn't It Be Nice," which is maybe my favorite Beach Boys song. And I have the box set of Pet Sounds, and it comes with each song with just the vocals. And I thought that what we do is listen to a snippet of "Wouldn't It Be Nice" with just the vocals, and then play that exact same section, with the complete song.
Happy times together we've been spending. I wish that every kiss was never ending. Oh, wouldn't it be
I've often wondered if the Beach Boys would have had more than four tracks to use, which I think Pet Sounds was, how that would have allowed the backing vocals to be even a little bit more prominent than they were. You can kind of tell they're covered up a little bit there. And I think that's because there's just a limited amount of tracks. And the Beatles suffered from the same thing. They only have four tracks through the White Album. And some of their vocals would get covered up. The backing vocals would get covered up. But I always thought that the Beatles and the Beach Boys had a similar style of harmonizing. It was very tight around the lead vocal, oohs and ahs in and out of the song. But the next artist I'd like to focus on is Aretha Franklin, and she had a different style of backing vocals. Her sisters were her primary backing vocalists, Carolyn and Irma. And amongst others, she had Sissy Houston, who was Whitney Houston's mom. But Aretha came from, obviously, a gospel tradition. And it's not exactly a call and response in Aretha's vocals, backing vocals that I've noticed. But there is something, there is sort of a sort of more of a conversation going on in the backing vocals. And the other thing is that in Aretha's, what's so unique about them is that they have a not a prominent role, but like they kind of stand out more. Obviously, the "Sock It to Me" is the famous one, but I pick "Think" because I always liked how the sisters are standing like sort of right behind her and sort of reinforcing what Aretha is singing. I always thought that was really interesting. So let's have a listen. Like I said, I always thought that Aretha's backing vocals somehow kind of stood out and were sort of their own part in the song. And really interesting how she did them over the years. And the totality of all that work is really quite stunning. And I recommend going back and when you're listening, is kind of listen for the background vocals and kind of appreciate them. I think there's some really great work in there. The next song I want to talk about is "Young Americans" by David Bowie. And although David was really messed up in this period, his voice was still fantastic. And he couldn't have picked better background singers for Young Americans. On this track, he has Ava Cherry, Robin Clark, who you might remember sang backing vocals for Simple Minds, Alive and Kicking, was one of the standout tracks for me. And then Luther Vandross as well. And just, these are great. what are you going to say? Let's have a listen to some of this.
Have you been on America? Just you and your idle civil sense so loud. Leather, leather everywhere. And mother myths live from the ghetto. Well, what you got, sir? In case, just in case of depression. Sit on your hands on the bus of survivors. Blushing at all the Afro sealers.
That's just some great vocal work there, in my opinion. And obviously the nod to A Day in the Life there. Obviously John Lennon and Bowie were friends. And you can go onto YouTube and you can find a live version of that Bowie did on the Dick Cavett Show. It's really, really good. Highly recommended. The next song we're going to do is Killer Queen by Queen. And obviously the Queen backing vocals are legendary. And kind of like with Aretha, I'm not going to pick Bohemian Rhapsody, which has, you know, the famous backing vocals, but I picked Killer Queen because I think those are really interesting because they're more traditional in that there's oohs and ahs in and out and emphasizing certain parts of the song. And we're going to, like we did with the Beach Boys, we're going to have a section with just the vocals and then play that same section with all the instrumentation. So let's have a listen to that.
Same address and conversation. She spoke just like a baroness. Met a man from China, went down to Geisha Minor. Then again, incidentally, if you're that way inclined, perfume came naturally from Paris. Naturally. The car she couldn't care less. Fastidious and precise.
She's a killer queen, gunpowder gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam,
guaranteed to blow your mind.
Anytime.
Conversation. She spoke just like a baroness. Little man from China went down to Geisha Minor. Then again, incidentally, she's a that way queen. The car she couldn't care less, fastidious and precise.
She's a killer queen, gunpowder gelatine, dynamite with a laser beam,
guaranteed to blow your mind.
Those guys had more than four tracks, and I think they used every single one of them. I saw Brian talking one time how what they would do is they would record Brian May, Roger Taylor, and Freddie Mercury. There would be three of those singing, and then they would do another three on top of that, and then another three on top of that. That was sort of standard operating procedure for them, pretty much, and quite an effect it has. So before I introduce and play the last song, I would like to thank Jim and Patrick for allowing me to sit in. It's always great fun putting these together and thinking about a topic and then picking the songs and what you're going to say about them. It's a lot of fun. So thanks very much for letting me contribute to the show again. If you would like to reach out to Jim and Patrick, please feel free to do so at Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You can email at suburbspod.com, or you can call the Suburban Party Line. The last song we're going to talk about is Harmony from Elton John's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road album, and it's the album closer. And if you look for it, there's a classic albums about Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. It's really interesting. And Davy Johnston, the guitar player, talks about how they do the backing vocals. And actually, he said Elton leaves and they do them on their own. And then he comes back and they're there. And pretty much the first time he hears them is when the album's finished. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So this is a great example of their work on that album, and I just think it's outstanding. And thanks again for listening, and I will talk to you next time.
You're not lucky knowing me, keeping the speed real slow. In any case, I set my own pace by stealing the show. Say hello.
I've always wanted to sing badly, and I do.